James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, Alabama is in the college football playoff. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. What a weekend. What a crazy, crazy day yesterday with the college football playoff selection show, the final rankings, Notre Dame being left out, two group of five teams getting in, Tulane and James Madison. Not a fan of that. The one is enough. I do. But as I wrote on my Facebook, Gary Harris, WVUA23 Facebook page, and I'm going to read that because this is my thoughts yesterday. And I do think that, yeah, we all think our opinion matters, I guess, to some degree. But I felt like I had a pretty good pulse on it. And now I know next year Notre Dame has an agreement that if they're in the top 12, they are automatically guaranteed a spot. I get that. But this year they weren't guaranteed a spot. And this is what I wrote yesterday after the show came out. My thoughts: Alabama had to be in, or else you're forced to deal with the conference championship games going away, which they don't want to do. Money and television inventory is too important. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You know, I don't like the conference championship games anymore. I think they've worn out their usefulness, but their TV inventory, they generate a lot of money, so they're here to stay. Plus, Alabama's win at Georgia is the best win in the country this season, in my opinion. You know, I know there are some other good wins, but when you look at Georgia and what they've been able to do, and they did again this year, their only loss, and you gave it to them at home where they had not lost in 30-something games, that's the best one in the country. So Alabama had to be in, whether people like it or don't like it, okay? They went 10-2 against a really, really difficult schedule. They won at Georgia. They won at Tennessee. They beat Vanderbilt. Keep that in mind. What a good win that turned out to be. A good win at the time. And then they were the number one seed. And people say, well, I've never heard of a number one seed. Well, you know, you should, because there is a pecking order even in the SEC championship game. All right? And Alabama was the number one seed. There were four teams that finished 7-1 in the league. Alabama and Georgia qualified for the SEC championship game. Texas A&M and Ole Miss did not. So Alabama was in, regardless, whether you like it or you don't like it. I continue to write this. Secondly, weak or not, the Atlantic Coast Conference is a Power Four conference and deserves a spot, in my opinion. Miami is a quality team. It makes sense that they got in ahead of Notre Dame, if that's what it came down to, since they beat them when they played. Thirdly, I think the college football playoff sent a message to Notre Dame that thumbing your nose to the rest of college football has consequences. You don't want to join a conference? There are ramifications for that. Now, again, next year that changes. They're in the top 12 next year. They're guaranteed a spot. But they weren't guaranteed a spot this year. And, you know, they want to play it and do it their way. It cost them this year. And then I've wrapped it up with this. A 16-team, no bye format makes more sense to me. I've been saying that. It isn't about the 12 best teams. It isn't. Or else Tulane and James Madison wouldn't be in and Notre Dame would be. So let's quit this, that they're coming from this standpoint of we're going to get the 12 best teams. That's not what it's about. And that, listen, and I'm glad a group of five team gets in. Now, I wish there weren't two, but so I don't have a problem with that. But let's not say that, you know, Tulane and James Madison are better than Notre Dame. They're not. Or Vanderbilt. Or Texas. So the reality of it is, it's always been about politics. You know what? The SEC is a power conference. The SEC does carry a lot of weight. The SEC has been the dominant conference until the last couple of years, when I do think the Big Ten, because of the top heaviness of Ohio State and Michigan the last couple of years, and now Indiana, can make a claim. But as far as 1 through 16, there's no other conference like the SEC. There's no other gauntlet. They have clout. They have power. That's part of it. You know what? If you don't like it, try to get in the SEC. I mean, it is what it is. So getting back to Alabama, I said this on Friday, And I said it Saturday night after the game, even though I sat there in Mercedes-Benz Stadium and watched Alabama get pummeled, watched them get physically overwhelmed by Georgia, that Alabama absolutely deserved a spot. And this talk about Bama privilege, let me tell you something. Bama's been left out before. And in this case, it wasn't about Alabama. It was about the spot that Alabama held. Had that been any SEC team in that same spot, 10-2, playing Georgia in the SEC championship game as the number one seed and getting beat, that team would have got in as well. Chase, you agree with that? If it had been Ole Miss, if it had been Vanderbilt, if it had been A&M, if it had been Texas, they would have gotten in. It wasn't as much about Alabama as it was the spot that they held in the pecking order.
Yeah, I think it's just a despair of college football right now, Gary. I think with Bama, I agree, deserves to be in. I am disappointed how they played. I understand injuries are a factor, but they got in. And this is a wake-up call for Notre Dame. You know, you guys have been independent for a long, long time, and you've benefited from it. But now you're incorporating other conferences that deserve to be in. And you've got to join a conference or deal with it. And like you said, next year and the next few years are different. But this is a ramification. They're tired of just throwing their weight around with Notre Dame. This is kind of like a reality check for real. But I believe Alabama should have been in. I knew that when they were ranked above Notre Dame. And it was solidified. But Alabama should be in. And they're looking forward to their matchup, the revenge game down in Norman. I believe it's next week or so.
Well, I'm glad Alabama's in. I think they deserve to be in. Do I think they are going to win the national championship? No. Do I think they're one of the top half of teams in the college football playoff? I don't. Do I think they're capable of winning at Oklahoma? I do. Even though Oklahoma won the game here, I thought in that particular game, Alabama moved the football well. Now, they've struggled lately offensively, but they moved the ball well in that game. Well over 400 yards. Simpson made some plays with the pass. They had some success running the ball. The three turnovers did them in. Now, do I think they're going to be in Indiana in the Rose Bowl if they beat Oklahoma? I don't. But I definitely think they can win this game against Oklahoma, and I don't care that Oklahoma's had Alabama's number lately. Georgia had it. You know, Alabama had Georgia's number. Didn't matter on Saturday night. It comes down to the game you're playing. All right, we are off and running here. Listen, we got the phone calls backed up, so we're going to get to everybody, I promise you. I do need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. I'm trying to talk too fast. Join today and feel good about your money. And put extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup today, Rodney Orr from Tider Insider at 9:30. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. We've got the Kalen DeBoer College Football Playoff press conference from yesterday. We've also got Nate Oates. If we have a chance to get to Coach Oates, we may not. We're going to try our best to get to Coach DeBoer. Alabama basketball rolled over UTSA, coached by Austin Collins, former Alabama assistant yesterday. Alabama almost got to 100. They had 97, but they roll, and they're getting ready for Arizona this weekend in Birmingham. Wow, that'll be a doozy of a game. All right, let's get to our break. When we come back, we're going to take the phone calls in the order in which they came. It's going to be Cole, it's going to be Corey, and it's going to be Bryce. So you guys hold tight. We'll get to you nothing but phone calls in the next segment. The Gary Harris Show is off and running here in Tuscaloosa.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. All four of the state of Alabama's major universities received a grade of D on free speech and censorship. The activist group 2026 Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression graded UA's Tuscaloosa campus the lowest with a D-, based largely on the firing of a UA professor who had derogatory remarks about the
kids' four-wheelers, dirt bikes, and side-by-sides for Christmas. With financing available, Redline Power Sports, Highway 43 at Tierce Patton Road in Northport.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at Taylor Electrical.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus, R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll forecast a clearing sky today, becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high 48. Clear and cold tonight, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Comet and Cupid and
I could listen to it, but at the same time, we got a phone call. We got four of them lined up, so we got to hit them fast. I said Cole in T-Town is going to lead us off. Hey, Cole.
What's up, Gary?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I want to tell you right now, I did like going for it on fourth down, but why did we pass it? All we had to do was either give it to Ty Simpson and run a QB sneak, or make it a strong toss left or right.
Question is on third down. If you're gonna go for it on fourth down from your own 12-yard line, and you know you're gonna go for it, why not run it on third down? Same thing they did at Auburn.
Go left or right with the running back.
Well, in that situation, I don't agree with going for it. I don't agree with going for it on you know from your 12-yard line.
Don't throw a screen pass, but you can.
Well, I don't like the call either, but I'm saying I don't agree with going for it in the first place. I mean, you're 12-yard line.
You can just run the ball.
Well,
you got to run the damn ball.
All right. Well, they didn't run it.
They didn't run it, and that's why we lost it. You're right. We didn't run it because we lost it. Roll Tide.
All right. Thank you, Cole. Getting some stuff off his chest this morning. All right. Let's get to Corey in Trustwell. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this
morning? Good morning.
First of all, yes, I was disappointed the way we played, but really, you could kind of see as the game unfolded that I think Alabama was trying to just decrease the margin of loss and get out of there. I mean, maybe at some point they thought they could try to tie the game, but I think once Georgia went up 28-7, they were thinking, okay, let's just get out of here, not make it as ugly. And I think they felt confident they would be in. And now let's just focus on getting healthy, as many players as we can these next 2 weeks, and let's take our shot at Oklahoma at a rematch now. I bet it's going to be cold up there. I'm not saying it's going to snow. I'm just saying it can get cold up there. Brent Venables is going to do the same thing, you know, blitz Ty Simpson to death because we have no running game. But it's a new game, new season, win or go home. Maybe if we show some new things we haven't done all year, maybe we have a chance. But it's going to be tall ask anyway because we've just been one-dimensional all year. I mean, the thing that worries me is that what have we shown all year that we hadn't shown already that we can spread the ball around or take a vertical shot? They can take the pressure off Ty Simpson because I hate it for him that he's had to carry the load all year. And that I feel like for as well as Alabama's played on defense and some offense, I feel like the blame is on him and not on him because he's had to shoulder the offense by himself.
Yeah, you make some good points, Corey. You're on top of it as always.
I mean, you got to imagine that he's feeling the pressure of having to carry this offense because he knows he has no running game. His offensive line is starting to fall apart, and it's just I feel like since the last game he really played well was the Tennessee game, and it's just gone downhill since. And if you think about it, Dylan Stewart had a good game. South Carolina, LSU blitzed him to death. Oklahoma did. Auburn did. And then Georgia did. So he's just been blitzed consistently. And now you're going to see it again against Brent Venables. I mean, or really you're going to see it the rest of the season. So unless you get running game or good pass protection, he's going to be blitzed the rest of the season. So you got to find a running game to help offset the pass rush, or he's going to be on his back the rest of the season.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think they got to make some adjustments. I do think Alabama can beat Oklahoma. Do they need to play better? Absolutely. But they got a shot, man. They're in the playoff. That's what you're trying to do to start the season, is get in the playoff, and Alabama made it, Corey. So, I hope they can win at Oklahoma. If they don't, though, they still had a good year. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Great stuff, as always, from you. All right, let's get to Bryce, and then we'll hit Phillip. Hey, Bryce, good morning.
Well, I hope I'm not wrong to say this, but I didn't think we looked prepared to play the ball game the other night. Do you think I'm wrong to say that?
I don't know that they were not prepared. I mean, I think they ran into a better team. Sometimes when you don't play well, you're overmatched. You look like you weren't prepared. I mean, I think they wanted to win. I think they prepared. I do think the injuries were a factor. But I think the main aspect of the game was Georgia's a better team. I think Georgia was a better team when Alabama beat them in Athens. It makes that win that Alabama had in Athens even that much more impressive. Some Georgia fans blowing up my phone about, 28-7 versus 24-21. I think Georgia's a better team than Alabama. That makes that win that Alabama had in Athens even more impressive. And obviously bothers Georgia fans because, this guy's coming at me about how they'd have won it. Hadn't gone for it on fourth and one and made it. Well, don't go for it. I mean, you got beat at home. You had your 30-something game winning streak snapped. So, sometimes you just can't give people credit. You give them credit for winning, and they want more credit for a game they didn't win. So, if the guy's listening to me, I don't know what else you want me to tell you. Your team won. They're the SEC champion. They were the better team. But it doesn't undo the fact that Alabama beat them at Sanford Stadium. So, but the other night, get back to your call, Bryce, it's just that I don't know that, if they weren't prepared. I just thought they ran into a better team, not having your a running game, quarterback not looking like he was, moving the way that he should have moved, and they ran into a buzzsaw. Sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. Alabama fans are just used to being the hammer. They were the nail the other night. They got it put to them. I don't know how, if they'd have prepared better, more. I don't know what they could have done differently, to be honest with you, Bryce. I thought they just got whipped.
Well, and I did too. It's just that everybody wants to blame Ty Simpson.
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to. Everybody wants to blame him. He's the quarterback. He touched. Did everybody want to blame Jalen Milroe? When you're the quarterback and things don't go well, you're going to take some heat for it, Bryce. That's the way it works.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you got to run route. You got to run your routes better. And you got to catch the balls.
Everybody's got to play better. There's no, when you get beat 28-7 in the SEC championship game, there's plenty of blame to go around. But to say that Ty doesn't have some of the responsibility is silly to me.
Oh, he does. He does, but he can't take it all.
Well, nobody's giving it to him all. I mean, they ran the ball for minus 3 yards net rushing. Offensive line got.
That won't get it done.
There's plenty of to go around for all of them. They got outplayed. And it's some things that they got to work on now that before they play Oklahoma. And the offensive line has got to be better in the run game. You got to be able to get some push, man. You got to be able to give – I don't think these backs are great, but you got to give them a little bit of room. You got to give them an opportunity to make some yards. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not putting it all on Ty at all. But, he needs to play better. He did not play well the other night.
Sure he does. Everybody does. The defense, they can beat Oklahoma, and I want to readjust, after they win the first game and go from there, but the first game is what they got to win it, to stay in the playoffs, but Oklahoma offense is not good enough to beat Alabama if we don't turn the ball over and make mistakes is where I'm at.
Yeah, they're gonna have to play a lot better. But as I said, here, let me just say this before we get to Phillip. I think it's been a good season for Alabama. you know, they navigated that schedule, and now they're one of 12 teams that are still playing for a national championship. So they made it to that point. Hey, thank you, Bryce. Good phone call. Let's finish up with Phillip. Hey, Phillip, good morning.
Hey, the basketball staff, I think, has got an important question that they're probably maybe mulling over. I may be wrong, Gary. Do you put Jacob Martin in over Noel Williams from here on out?
I doubt you do. I'm happy for the kid. I mean, but what, because he got in and got a dunk late in the game against UTSA, you think he needs to move ahead of a scholarship NIL player?
Yeah, based on what I've seen, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
His energy, the team loves his energy. I think he's athletic enough to play some. And just based on what I've seen, a little bit I've seen, and I've seen enough of Noah to feel like now, after 9 games, that Jacob can do what he does and maybe a little better, maybe with some more energy.
Well, if you're right, Phillip, then I'm sure the coaches are saying the same thing. So, maybe you're right. I would doubt it. And I'm not saying he doesn't bring energy, but, you know, listen, when you come into a game and you got a 40-point lead, that's a whole different deal than coming into a game in the first half against a quality opponent. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't know. It's apples and oranges to me. Hopefully they're going to get some guys back and they won't have to play Noah Williamson as much, because I agree with you. He's not a high-level player in the SEC. But I'm, you know what? They know their personnel better than I do. So, you know what? Maybe you're right. We'll see.
Just an observation, that's all.
No, it's fair. No, listen, he did bring some juice yesterday, and he's a fun kid, and the crowd was cheering for him. So I'm not disagreeing with what you saw. It's just I just think there's a lot that goes into it other than coming in into a game up 40 points. But if the coaches believe that, I'm sure they'll do what they think they need to do to try to win the game. It's one thing I've always said. They're not always right, but I do think coaches try to win the game. And I think they want to have the best team they can. So I think they do whatever they think they need to do to try to be better. And if he makes them better, I'm sure he'll get an opportunity, Phil.
Well, with the schedule coming up and with the way the roster is, Akagina is out with a medical condition, I don't see what the harm would be to try it. Just experiment, and if it doesn't work, I'm wrong.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. All right, 9:31. We're going to come back. Good phone calls. A lot of juice and energy this morning from my callers too, and from people on social media that I don't. Again, I don't. I'm going back and forth with a Georgia fan. I don't know what else he wants me to tell him. I mean, you won the game. You're the SEC champion, but I'm not going to sit there and tell you that Alabama didn't deserve to win in Athens.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
It's where your Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown!
Home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
So it's time for Rodney Orr's segment from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV. Going to recap the SEC Championship game. Look ahead to the college football playoff. Good morning, Rod. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well. First, a lot to unwrap this morning. First, just your thoughts and takeaways from Georgia 28, Alabama 7 in the SEC Championship game Saturday afternoon in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think obviously, Georgia came in with the right mindset. And I thought they pretty much dominated the game from the very start, especially their defense and special teams versus Alabama's. Again, I think I credit Kane Womack. I thought the defense played a pretty nice, did a pretty nice job. But again, when you set up with four short fields, you know, it makes things a lot easier. And I thought Alabama made it a little easier on Georgia, you know, gave them those opportunities, and Georgia took advantage of it.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They controlled the football game, as you said, physical, aggressive. And let's start with Alabama's offense. Again, listen, the minus 3 yards net rushing is a shocking stat. Now, you have to take into account the sack yardage. For some reason, in college football, goes against your rushing total. Nonetheless, it's a stunning stat. And, you know, my phone is, I'm sure yours did as well. My phone was blowing up during the game. It's blown up. Of course, Georgia's people found my social media now, so I'm getting blown up by them. I don't know what else they want me to tell them. You won the game. But for Alabama, and you and I have had this discussion on the show. We've had it on Tider Insider TV. This offensive staff, you know, they're not going to, you know, people are texting me this morning, you got to ground and pound. Well, they're not going to ground and pound. That's not who they are. At the same token, Rodney, you've got to have some semblance of a running game, I think, in high-level football. I mean, you know, sack yardage aside, they couldn't run the ball a lick the other night. And I know some of that's got to do with injuries, but, you know, just your thoughts on the inability to run the football or establish any kind of running game.
Well, I mean, you know, there was a point there that they seemed to be doing it better. Vanderbilt, they went for 146. They went for 125 against Missouri. I know these aren't great numbers, but they're not bad. Tennessee, they went for 120. South Carolina is when it kind of started tailing off. They went for 72. They got 56 on LSU. They got 80 on Oklahoma. And, you know, they found a way against Auburn. When Auburn went to that five-man front, they took advantage of it and, you know, had 158, but in this game, as you mentioned, they had minus three. And it's, you know, obviously Jam Miller out. That really hurts because he's the most experienced back that they have. And again, I know Jam hasn't necessarily been great this year. He's had a lot of injuries that have slowed him down. But still, I think his experience, his leadership back there has been really good when he's been in the game. And I just think that you saw in this game, without him back there, it did take something away from the Alabama run game. But, you know, and you're right, though, Gary. I mean, this is a quarterback-centric offense. I mean, this is what they want to do. They want to be able to throw the football. And, you know, they just didn't do a very good job of that either on Saturday. But I will say this, too. With that said, you know, in the first game against Georgia, Alabama came up really aggressive. I mean, they were throwing the ball. They were wide open. They were spreading the field out. And they didn't do that in this game. You know, they came in. They ran the ball between the tackles. Tried to run it between the tackles the first few series, and you know, just really didn't work. And you know, Ken, I'm still here trying to figure out exactly what they were trying to do or wanted to do offensively in this game.
You're not alone. I don't think anybody can figure out the game plan, and that brings me to Ty Simpson. And again, I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, discussion about, you know, if he's healthy, and I'm sure he's not 100% healthy, and I'm sure he's dealing with stuff. Nevertheless, he is the quarterback, and the ability to stretch the field vertically. I was there, Rodney. I watched it. Georgia had 11 guys within most of the game within 7 or 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, they just didn't respect Alabama's vertical passing game. Now, there was a time, you know, they went over the top to Ryan Williams. They got a pass interference. But I'm with you. I don't know what's happened if he's not physically capable of throwing the ball down the field anymore. But they're not, you know, even when they were down, you thought, well, they'll take a couple shots, you know, just to see if they can hit something. And they really didn't do it other than the one time they got the pass interference. And I don't know what's going on there, but you got to have, you know, if you're not going to be a great running team, goodness knows, you need a vertical passing game. You can't just keep throwing everything underneath and quick hitters and expecting receivers to break tackles and you know, gain a bunch of yards after the catch, can you?
Well, you know, look, I mean, I thought in the third quarter when they maybe it was early fourth quarter, when they started, Ty started using his checkdowns. You know, he started swinging the ball out. He started utilizing the tight end. It opened some things up down the field. Like you said, Ryan was open. The ball was underthrown. You know, there were some other plays that were open. But I thought when they went tempo a little bit there, Ty, you know, didn't seem to have to think about things as much. I mean, I thought he felt more comfortable, or seemed more comfortable, I should say. But, you know, for the most part in the game, I just thought he felt confused. He looked confused. Looked rattled, you know, and again, I mean, I think you look at that short throw that he had at the ankles of Daniel Hill. That was a big play right there. I mean, you've got to be able to make that play. It's a third and two. You need a first down desperately. It's an easy throw. Let's make the throw. I think you look at the fourth and two. First of all, I think they 8 minutes left in the game. Right there, you're down, what was it, 21-7 at the time. You punt the football because you much rather give them the football at midfield than give them the ball at your 8, 9, 10 yard line.
Absolutely.
And so, but with that said, I think when you look at the play, Ty throws a ball that's it's a low percentage throw. He throws it out of bounds, not anywhere near the receiver. You have a guy open in the flat to the left, Daniel Hill. If you throw it to him, you dump it off to him, it's probably a 10 or 12 yard gain. You got the first down. But again, the strategy there, I don't think I would have gone for it there, because even if you get the first down, let's say you get it out to the 20-yard line, you still got 80 yards to go, right? So it's not like you're in their end of the field. So I just really question the strategy on that particular decision.
All right, let's move on because Alabama lost that football game, but then we waited yesterday. I had predicted they would get in the college football playoff, and they did. Now, obviously, you know, and then maybe I'll follow up with you a little bit on the playoff itself. But for Alabama, they're in, Rod. And I do think, you know, for this coaching staff and this team, they earned it. And at the same time, it's best case scenario that you could lose to Florida State, that you could lose at home to Oklahoma, that you could you know, lose 28-7 in the SEC championship game and make it into the college football playoff. To me, it feels a little bit like you've got new life, okay? You can close the door. This Oklahoma team beat you. They beat you 2 years in a row. But there's no doubt in my mind, Rodney, that Alabama can beat Oklahoma. So, moving forward, and I don't, you know, I know fans get frustrated, but these people that are running out on your board and other places saying Alabama doesn't deserve to be in the playoff, get a clue. that's the worst fandom I've ever seen. Of course you deserve to be in. You're in, right? And you get to clear the page and try to go win a game in Norman, Oklahoma. And if you win that one, you go to Pasadena, you worry about that one. But Alabama's got a new lease on life now, Rod. They're one of 12 teams that are playing for a national championship. Fans should be rejoicing and celebrating that, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, to each his own. But I'll say this, you know, again, Alabama went 7-1 in the regular season in the SEC. They went through a very difficult gauntlet. I mean, maybe one of the most difficult gauntlets that there's been in many, many years, I think, going through the SEC the way they did. And certainly they earned their position. You know, the blowout loss to Georgia, I understand that if people question that, and if you're on the other side, naturally, you're going to say, hey, look, you know, they get hammered in this last game. I understand that. But at the same time, Notre Dame's sitting at home, right? They don't have to play in a championship game. So I kind of get what everybody's saying a little bit, but I don't really pay attention to what a lot of these people are saying that Alabama shouldn't be in. Because you know what Alabama is in? And they've got to go prove themselves in these games. They've got the opportunity to prove they deserve to be in. So they go to Norman, Oklahoma. I don't really know what the weather's going to be. I mean, that could certainly be a factor.
It could.
You know, it could be really cold. It could be windy. How's that going to affect this finesse offense that Alabama runs right now? You know, again, we don't know. So I think it comes down probably to the same thing, Gary, that we saw in the first game against Oklahoma and what we've seen in most of these games with Alabama. And that is that if Alabama protects the football and plays clean football, they got a really good chance to win the game. And they would have won the game had they protected the ball here a couple of weeks ago, November 15th, when Oklahoma was here. You know, they had 3 turnovers in the game. They missed a chip shot field goal. They lose by 2 points. Think about that. So, you know, if Alabama plays clean, I think they win the game. If they don't play clean, they turn the ball over, they probably won't win the game.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the offense. And there's some things in addition to the injuries which have impacted. You don't have Quavis, as you said. You don't have Miller. That impacts your offense. Been some juggling on the offensive line. But in what, getting back to what you were talking about, you know, offensively, you know, making plays. And there's a lot of stuff you hear about Ryan Williams and off the field and NIL and all that. But, Roddy, there's no denying that he is still – an incredible playmaker. We saw it the other night. I mean, he gets the ball. Yeah. People miss him. I mean, I don't know what happened in the Auburn game, but I know this. If they're going to beat Oklahoma, in my opinion, Ryan Williams needs to be factored in, and they got to find a way to get him the football some. They did it the other night, and they're going to have to do it even more.
I think one of the big issues, you talk about the run game, and it certainly is something that, you know, has been lacking, obviously. But it's just explosive plays. And you mentioned downfield passing attack. But just explosive plays, whether it's in the run game, whether it's from a receiver, special teams, whatever. This team's not making any explosive plays. And I thought Ryan was on the verge of popping a couple in that game. He just seemed to be playing at a different level, actually, than what he had been playing in the previous weeks. Of course, he did, you know, obviously drop the ball that would have been a touchdown. Fortunately, Alabama comes back on the next play, I think it was, and Jeremy makes a really good play and scores. So, but yeah, just the lack of explosive plays. But I'll say this, you know, just, you know, Gary, really, just the lack of confidence you see on this offensive side of the ball. You look at the body language, it doesn't look good. You look at Ty Simpson. You know, when you throw the pass down at the feet, you know, you can't hang your head. I mean, the body language was not good. And I'm not just talking about Ty. I'm just talking about, you know, offensively as a whole. I mean, the confidence does not seem to be there with Ty. Doesn't seem to be there with the receivers. It just doesn't seem to be there at all. So I really don't know exactly how they get that fixed in the run they have coming up in the playoffs, but they got to somehow get that confidence back. And I thought, let me say this now. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead. You know, last week I was a little bit naive, and I said, okay, you know, I got caught up with it that Alabama makes this great drive at the end of the game, 15 plays, 75 yards, 8 minutes, and they come back and they force the fumble. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Alabama kind of got their mojo back. And that really wasn't it, that, you know, they didn't. And that's something that they've got to, you know, they've got to find. They've got to get that back.
You said it earlier that defensively you thought they hung in pretty well, and I do too. You know, they were put in a lot of disadvantage situations, and, you know, I thought there were some things that they didn't do really well. But looking ahead to Oklahoma, you feel like if the offense plays better, that the defense is playing well enough to go out there and win?
You know what? I think probably Oklahoma is going to be real interesting because, like I said, I think, you know, there could be a lot of factors involved with the weather. I just don't know how you do it, but you got to protect the football, man. And I think that's first and foremost. But at the same time, Gary, you know, the one thing I was going to say, and I kind of forgot to say it, but I just thought not being aggressive. Like I said, they came out in that first game against Georgia really aggressive. And, you know, maybe that's what you need to do, is you need to just come out and let her rip. I mean, play to your strengths, you know. Try to throw the ball down the field. Try to make some plays offensively, explosive plays, and be kind of wide open. Spread them out. Again, I think that's, you know, we're so far, that's what we've seen where Ty is. You know, when he has had success early in the year, that's what they were kind of doing. I don't know. They just looked really conservative and lacking confidence in this last game.
Special teams factored in big time in the loss to Oklahoma here at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think special teams factored in the other night. I mean, the high snap on the punt.
Yep.
Punter, he's kind of slow getting it off. That kind of changed the game. At that point, it's, you know, kind of going back and forth. They get the block punt. They get the short field. Late in the game, you got Cole Adams, for some reason, fielding a ball at the 5-yard line. And then he, you know, he dropped it and went up, you know, starting out at the 2. You know, the kicker's kicking better now, but special teams is going to have to tighten it up. This game in Norman in the weather could come down to special teams, Ronnie, and I'm not really that confident in Alabama special teams right now.
Yeah, Georgia, I mean, like I said, you know, the first possession in the second half, Georgia gets great field position, punt return, I think, down to Alabama's 40-yard line. You know, so they won field position, they won special teams, and you know, Alabama, like you said, you block a punt. Kirby's now 18-0 in games that they blocked a kick. So, you know, they're up 7-0. Then you get the interception, and the interception results in a touchdown. You're down 14-0. And it's you know, there's like I said, that in this game, again, coming up with Oklahoma, I mean, I can't emphasize enough about you got to be able to protect the football, and on special teams, you cannot have those blunders.
All right. We'll have plenty of time between now and the game. And, of course, so no predictions now. We'll have plenty of time to analyze this game both on the radio next week and on Tider Insider TV the next couple of weeks. Big picture of college football playoff. There's been a lot of gnashing of teeth about Alabama getting in. I don't need to rattle the names. You've read the same stuff I've read from these media people who just act like they're personally offended that Alabama got in the playoff. It's remarkable to me. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I would say this, Roddy. I said it earlier. I wonder if you agree. You may disagree. I don't think this was much about Alabama. It simply was about the situation. I mean, whether it was Alabama, whether it had been Texas or A&M or Tennessee, I think any team in the same position that Alabama was in, going 7-1 in the league against that schedule, being the number one seed in the SEC championship game at 10-2, had they lost to Georgia, I think they would have been in. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand why that's so hard for people to see, that the SEC regular season number one seed and runner up for the SEC championship was going to get in the college football playoff, regardless if it was Alabama or anybody else.
Well, first of all, if I had a gripe about this playoff and the way it's designed right now or set up, is why is James Madison in? Why is Tulane in? I mean, these teams, I think you could pick out other teams. Like you said, Notre Dame, Texas. There are other teams that I think would make this a much better group of 12, playoff group. So, that's my real issue with it. I would like to see the 12 best teams. I'm not really interested in including everyone.
Well, that's not what it is, though. The minute they guaranteed a group of five spot in the playoff, it went from being the 12 best. Yeah,
I understand. But that's the issue I have, is just the way it's set up. Mm-hmm. I don't think fans are interested in seeing Oregon and James Madison or whoever it is. I think you ought to get the 12 best teams. And you know what? There's another three-loss team, Texas, that I think is really a good football team. I mean, they are really, really good. And because they're so talented. Again, I think they underachieved a little bit. But, I'm not sure that they don't deserve to be in. And Vanderbilt, too, for that matter. I mean, I think that's a quality team. Vanderbilt proved they are a quality team with one of the top. Who wouldn't like to see Diego Pavi in the playoffs right now? I would. Much rather see Vanderbilt than James Madison or Tulane.
Yeah, I would too. Like I said, I just wish they'd go to a 16-team playoff, play it 1-16, get rid of the byes, get rid of the conference championship games. But as we've discussed, they're not getting rid of those conference championship games. That's TV inventory. That's money. It's a flawed system. It's going to remain a flawed system. I don't think, and there's going to be gnashing of teeth every year, but I don't get all the fake outrage over Alabama getting into the college football playoff. I mean, like I said, people act like they're personally offended by it, Rodney. Do I think Alabama's going to win the national championship? I don't. I don't think they're going to win it. I think they're one of the 12 best teams. I don't think they're one of the five best teams. But I don't see how you could have a problem with them making it in based on their body of work. I just don't.
Yeah, like I said, 7-1 in the SEC, the gauntlet that they ran through, and then, they're 10-2 in the regular season. Actually, they go into the SEC, if you want to say the number one seed, going to the championship game. So, I mean, it's really difficult to keep them out.
All right, real quickly before we wrap it up, for Kalen DeBoer, I'm not going to say this is a reprieve because he earned it, like you said, but under the circumstances, with this team, with the injuries, with some flaws that I think this team has, the end result is, again, it's a good season. I mean, would you like to have won Saturday? Absolutely. But you played for it, and you're in the college football playoffs. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be objective here. I don't think this is a great football team. I think it's a good team. But you wanted results going into the season, and as a fan base, you got the results. So I don't know why so many people are upset.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of progress that we saw, but I understand that there are still questions that remain. I mean, but again, you got into the SEC championship game. I think that's a big deal. I think you got into the playoffs. That's a big deal. I think he really needed to get into the playoffs. So there's progress. But I also understand, you know, there's still a lot of questions about, you know, how this what direction they're going to take with this offense and how it's going to fit in the SEC. Because I think, you know, what we've seen this year is that, you know, they've struggled quite a bit. There's been a lot of inconsistencies, and you know, maybe part of it too, Gary, is they really don't have still have all the parts that they need, you know, to run their offense the way they want to run it.
All right. You got all the parts you need out there at TiderInsider.com to keep people discussing it, good or bad or anywhere in between. They're talking about it at TEI.com.
They are. It's only $48 a year. You get instant access right now with the credit card, or there is an address there to send a check.
All right. Thanks, Rod.
All right, buddy.
All right, 9:57, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up this first hour of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. It was nonstop. We'll get more phone calls in hour number two, plus Casey Smith will join us at 10:30, and we'll try to get to that Kalen DeBoer press conference from yesterday, at least some of it if we can. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at Taylor Electrical.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA, Oklahoma City won its 15th straight game, 131-101 at Utah, and star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out with left elbow bursitis. The Lakers got Luka Doncic back on the court. He scored 31 points in a narrow win at Philadelphia, 112-108. The Boston Celtics won their fifth straight, a win at Toronto. Former second baseman Jeff Kent was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame by a committee. The final college football playoff rankings came out, led by number one Indiana, also getting a first round bye, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Texas A&M will host number 10 Miami in a first round game. Notre Dame was not selected. It lost its season opener at Miami. Alabama will play at Oklahoma. In the NFL Sunday night game, Houston won.
Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, hour number two of the program. We've got a lot going on this morning, as I expected. Plenty of good phone calls, especially there early in the show, and then Rodney Orr with an in-depth conversation on the playoff and Alabama football. And let me say something before we get back to phone calls. I want to make sure I'm clear on what I said about Alabama fans. I think you should be happy you're in the playoff. And I didn't. You know, I hope I didn't use this word. I'm not saying satisfied, because I do think that the goal at Alabama is to win a championship, but you have a chance. You had a chance to win one Saturday. It didn't happen. Got beat. Georgia earned it. Georgia wins the SEC championship, which I think is a big deal. But you still have you're one of 12 teams that have an opportunity to win a national championship. So whatever's been done to this point, you know, it's a fresh start for everybody now. Does Alabama need to play better? Absolutely. Am I concerned about the offense? You bet I am. Do I have doubts about Ty Simpson right now making plays? Sure, based on what I've seen the last couple of games. But I've also seen him during the season be really effective. And he was effective against Oklahoma outside of the turnovers. See, listen, you can't take him back. He had a couple bad turnovers in that game. The pick six that really was almost could have been a 14-point swing. Alabama was getting close to scoring. And then that fumble. But I do think that Alabama will have confidence in the fact that they moved the ball consistently against Oklahoma in that game. But at the same time, I think if the goal going into the season, and that's clearly the goal now, is to get in the playoff. I mean, the bowl games have been diminished. Teams that didn't make the playoff don't even want to play in bowl games, a lot of them. Coaches getting fired. So it's an opportunity now. It's an opportunity to go play. And as I said, I don't think this Alabama team is a top five team in the country, but I do think they're a top 12 team, and they earned their spot. So now you can, you know, go compete. And if you feel like you're a top five team, you got a chance to prove it. All right, let's get phone calls, 205-342-9904. And Mary over in the ATL, and I know she's disappointed having to deal with those dog fans. Let me tell you, Mary, they found me on social media, so I've been getting hit with them, yeah, too. The biggest thing, my issue is with them. I've given Georgia all the credit in the world for beating Alabama up and down the field.
Right.
But I'm not going to give you credit for losing in Athens. I mean, you know, now all the they're coming up with the, we should have won that game. You know, we would have won that game if Kirby had kicked the field goal. You didn't win that game. Sure. Alabama beat you on your field, all right? Don't try to undo what happened, but I know you got to live with them, so I know it's probably pretty tough right now.
Well, I'm willing to say this. It takes a lot to leave me speechless and get me worked up. Chase can tell you, when I talked to him for, probably about 5 or 10 minutes while you were on the phone with Rodney, I got worked up. It takes a lot to work me up. But I'm that game kept us humble, and I'm not going to lie. You were there. You were here. You saw what went on. You had a bird's eye view from up there in the press box.
I did.
I stopped watching the game after Ty threw that interception.
Mm-hmm.
That game became background noise for me.
Mm-hmm.
They kept us humbled, and I'm just saying, give me all the crow. I'm willing to eat crow. Dry and extra crispy feathers on the side, give it to me. Because I'm not going to lie, you heard me the other day when I called in last week. I was confident. Do I still believe in my team? You better believe it with every bone in my body. I believe in my boys.
Mm-hmm.
But that game humbled us, and I told my cousin the other day. Well, I talked to him Saturday. We talked yesterday, and I waited till after church to dive into my phone when we start our playoff rank, because I'm happy we maintained a number 9 seed. I honestly didn't expect us to still be in the top 10 seed of the playoffs. I'm not going to lie to you. Do I feel like we deserved it? Pre-postseason? You better believe we did. Georgia was one of the best ones we had last regular season. I feel like Tennessee was good, a good quality win. Vanderbilt was decent. But like I told my cousin yesterday, I said, yeah, we earned the spot in the SEC title game. We earned that spot. But just because we earned the spot the way we played, we sure as heck didn't deserve to win that game yesterday. So that game humbled us. Every fan in our fan base is humbled right now. And I know we're mad. I know we're angry. But the mental toughness was not there. That offense was terrible. And I've heard so many comparisons to say, oh, well, Coach Saban would have done this if he was still coaching. I was like, number one, you don't know what he would have done. He probably would have benched Ty after he threw that interception Saturday. Probably. I would have. And I'm like, at this point, put me in. I'll score us 2 or 3 touchdowns right now. That's the point where I was at. But it keeps you humble. And you see your mistakes, put in the work, let's get ready and get healthy. And that it really showed me Saturday night how much we rely on Jam Miller. If he was healthy and was able to play, I know for a fact that we would have been okay. I feel like we weren't totally mentally prepared. That's my little rant and my 2 cents.
Well, I appreciate your opinion as always, Mary. And like I said, it is very disappointing, that result on Saturday, but at least Alabama lives to play another day, and they're in the playoff. And like I said, based on the way this season played out, with the loss of Florida State to start the season, the home loss to Oklahoma, barely getting by Auburn in the Iron Bowl, I think this is best case scenario. Alabama's got a chance, and that means a lot, Mary.
It is, and to just make it in the playoffs, I'm happy. Totally happy. But it just really makes me feel like, and I agree with a couple of things that you said too, I feel like the conference title games are losing their morale. And I told Chase earlier, it wouldn't surprise me if in the next 5 or 10 years the conference championship games are gone, because it's losing its attention. You know, it's more of the cities that are hosting the games making money. It's more about money now than it is anything. And I've noticed that in the past couple of years. It's more about money than anything. It's not it's more about getting views, making money in your city. It's not, I mean, yeah, the fan bases are going to support their teams. Don't get me wrong. But to me, it's just so much more about money now. It's honestly pathetic, and I feel like that's what's making people slowly lose interest in these championship games.
Yeah, it's a money grab at every level, of it. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good day.
All right, appreciate it. Good call there from Mary in the ATL. If you'd like to join in the conversation as well, Gary Harris Show Hotline 205-342-9904 is that number. Chase, while we've got a moment, while the phone lines are not lit up, let's go ahead and play a little Kalen, because I don't want to play the whole thing anyway. But after it was announced that Alabama was in the college football playoff, Kalen DeBoer had a Zoom press conference yesterday afternoon to discuss Alabama getting in and, you know, what is in front of the Crimson Tide in this opportunity. Here's the head coach of the Crimson Tide from Sunday afternoon.
Chance to have a berth in the CFP, the playoffs here, just something our guys have been working for, you know, going back really being in January, so 11 months. And, the work paying off and everything we did this season leading to this opportunity. Obviously a team that we know well with Oklahoma, one that, one that came here and obviously was a battle, was a physical game, and, came out on the wrong side. But looking forward to, third meeting in less than 2 years, or really probably 12 or 13 months. And so each team knows what to expect, know each other well, and know it'll be a hard-fought game.
All right. Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and start with Charlie Potter.
Yeah, hey, Coach, just want to see if you had an update on Xavien Brown and Justin Jefferson. I know both those guys left the game last night. Just maybe an early outlook for this playoff game.
We haven't met and got the report, but just going off of last night, I would expect with the severity that they'll both be good to go with the whole week off here and stuff. So
let's go to Joe Gaither next.
Coach, with the matchup against Oklahoma, the rematch on deck, obviously set, what's the biggest thing that you're going to be looking at outside of the turnovers from the last matchup to improve upon?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because that was a really important part of the game, the field position in general, and that's, you get to this point and you're playing the top tier teams, that's what it is, right? It's getting short field, it's making your own breaks, the turnovers, the special teams play, that's when, field position can be flipped the quickest. And so, I think just consistent execution. We removed the ball, but it wasn't as consistent as it needed to be. We were, maybe in the fourth quarter, not able to get that drive, and I haven't really gone back and reviewed the film, but it wasn't that long ago. So, coming up short at the end of the game was disappointing, because that's something we've done a pretty good job of. And so, other than the turnovers, because we got down in their territory and had the big play was the interception for a touchdown. But there's more plays to it than that. There's things that happen that, you'll go back to, but there's things that obviously we'll evaluate and make adjustments to what we saw and what the original plan was.
All right, that's a few minutes there from Kalen DeBoer, kind of laying it out for you. At message from Jared in Dallas, trying to give us a heads up on the weather. He said the long-range forecast for the game, December 19th, is not bad. 58 degrees for the high, 39 degrees for the low. Now, again, there's 11 days away, but the long-range forecast, I guarantee you, Alabama would take that right now. 58 degrees for high and 39 for a low and sunny. That would be best case scenario.
I'd happily take that over what it looked like in Norman, Oklahoma yesterday. Did you see that picture from?
I did. Was it bad?
Snow.
Yeah.
Field covered in snow.
Yeah. Let's get it all out of the way. We want 58 for a high and sunny and 39 for a low. Like I said, we'll live with that. So we will see. Hey, listen, phone lines are backed up, so hold tight. We're going to get to Robbie, Buck, and Jeff in the next segment, and we got Casey Smith coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Gary Harris Show continues right after this timeout.
West Alabama Real-Time News Update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from Tuscaloosa Threads. All four of Alabama's major universities received a D grade from a free speech activist group. UA Systems Tuscaloosa campus got a D-. ICE arrest in Alabama rising with some 3,000 immigrants taken into custody this year, double last year. And a bill pre-filed by Tuscaloosa Democrat State Representative Chris England would allow state voters to end the death penalty. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. I'm Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special
of the Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and
at options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll forecast a clearing sky today, becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high 48. Clear and cold tonight, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
When you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know.
All right, 10:20.
And everyone.
I'm giggling because, like I said, some Georgia fans found me on social media. And, all right, I bow down. I mean, they did this after the national championship, too. And they win one, and they want all the other losses just wiped out. They want all the other losses. They don't matter. They didn't exist. We won. Hey, Georgia's the SEC champion. They were the better team. Again, I don't know what else you want me to tell you. It does not undo the fact that Alabama went into Athens early this season and beat you. And that's the best loss. I mean, the best win in college football this season, in my opinion. All right. Let's get to phone calls. We're going to take them in the order they came in. Robbie, Jeff, and Buck, and they are lined up for us. Hey, Robbie, good morning.
Hey, Gary, good morning. And like you, I'm getting blown up by all my Georgia friends, man. It's like you said, it's like winning the national championship, beating Bama. So, but, you know, good for them. They earned it. You know, they played better than we did.
Sure.
Do I think the score was 28-7? No. We gave them two easy scores, but that's football. They capitalized on it. That block punt was a huge momentum swing. It put our defense right back after we stopped them, and I just thought that just gave them momentum, and then of course the fourth down on the 12 going for it. I don't understand that 8 minutes and 40 seconds to go, all your timeouts, like punt the ball. You know they might have scored, but most likely your defense stops them. But it is what it is. We got to clean up the special teams if we're going to have a chance against Oklahoma. Like I was worried when I saw Friday night at 7 o'clock in Oklahoma, after I did see the weather a couple days ago there, it was awful. I'm like, man, that's going to be miserable. But I hope you're right. That 11-day forecast, 58. So we will need that. But for us to be successful, Cuevas and Jam got to be back. And I don't know what their status is, but Cuevas killed them last time we played. They had no answer for him. He has got to get back somehow.
I think he'll be back. Based on what I've been able to gather, I feel confident that Cuevas will be back. I don't know about Jam yet, but I feel like Cuevas will play in the game.
Yeah, we need Jam's leadership out there, you know, especially playing against a defense like they're going to face against Oklahoma. Someone that can settle down the offensive line, someone that's seen everything, not so much for his yards, but – you know, just to settle that huddle down, keep tie in control. And if they don't clean it up, then it's basketball season. So, which Bama has Arizona this Saturday in Birmingham, and Arizona just beat Auburn by 30. So, they better be ready to play, too.
Oh, Arizona's good. I mean, they're like really good.
Yeah.
They're like next level good.
Really good.
That would be a huge win for Bama if they could take them down.
It will be. It'll be a must-watch fast game.
Absolutely.
But keep your head. We're back. We're in it. Sorry, Notre Dame. We got another shot to prove we're still one of the best. So let's just get ready. get healthy, get ready for Oklahoma.
Thanks, Robbie. All right, let's get to Jeff up in Tennessee, and then we get to Buck in Fayetteville, Georgia. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Doing well, man.
I hope you had a good weekend. I'd have put Notre Dame in myself, but it is what it is. I mean, they're out there, so I really don't want to see Alabama and Oklahoma again. But what I don't worry about Alabama is just holding on to the ball.
Yeah.
I believe it's 6 turnovers in 2 meetings. I believe the over-under on turnovers this time might be 4. I'll say so. I believe I wouldn't worry about players playing. I worry about holding on to that ball. I wouldn't be worrying about who's going to be in the game or what's going on. Or I worry about holding on to the ball. It's that defense what I'd be worried about. But I'd have put Notre Dame, but it is where it is.
Yeah, I'd have put Notre Dame in, too. I think Notre Dame's one of the 12 best teams.
I mean, Notre Dame would do what they want to do. But that's why they don't join a conference they don't need to. And if I'm Notre Dame, I'm not joining the conference and sharing the money. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, but as far as the other teams, I mean, I'm not, you know, James Madison and Tulane, I don't have a problem with them. With them being, I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, if they want to, if they want their chance, and they're going to get it, and we're going to see how good that, you know, they can play. But I'll just say this: with Indiana winning Saturday night, it gives hope to teams like a Kentucky and a Kansas to think that, like when they fired Stoops, it just shows the mentality that Kentucky's a basketball school. But Indiana ain't won a national championship in about 40 years in basketball. So are they a football school now? Is that what they are? I mean, you know, that's what it proves, that any school can win at any time. There's stuff that Kentucky can't win at football and won't ever do it, won't ever win the SEC, whatever. That's just the way it is. But, you know, I think it's going to be – it'll be a good playoff, I guess. I don't know. I know what they get 5 in the SEC, I think. But I know the SEC, I know you don't want any automatic qualifiers. Let's do basketball that way. The best 68, no conference tournaments, none whatsoever. Whoever wins the regular season goes. It's like the old days. We don't be shy. The only reason why they've got them is cash.
Yeah, it's all about money, Jeff. You said it all right there, my friend. I think the one thing we can all agree on right now, whether we're fans of certain sport or certain school, is that everything is being driven by money. All of this is being driven by money.
I agree. Like I said, I mean, I'm a Kentucky fan, and like I said, we got new. But like this, the Thursday afternoon, we're playing in the regional city finals in ball, got Cal Poly in volleyball. So I mean, that'll be on TV, and that's part of it. So
mm-hmm.
you just gotta go and go out and play. But I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to see Alabama, Oklahoma again. And as far as the weather goes, hey, it's December. Tough it out.
Yeah, you're right. All right, thank you, Jeff. Good stuff as always. All right, let's get the Buck over in Fayetteville, Georgia. Hey, Buck.
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Hey, man, I'm hanging in there.
Hey, I ain't got a lot to say, but I just want to say one thing. I'm living in Fayetteville, Georgia, but I roll with the Tide.
I got you.
And do you realize that Georgia played Georgia Tech in the stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the week before they played Alabama? So it basically was like they played 2 home games. I know Alabama played poorly, but you think that had anything to do with it?
Oh, I think it's a definite, you know, record-wise it hadn't been. Alabama's been outstanding over there, but I think it's a disadvantage if you're playing Georgia in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Sure I do. I mean, it's, you know, that. I mean, Alabama had a ton of fans there. I was there. But I'll say this. It feels like a home game for Georgia. Even though it was Georgia Tech's home game, it felt like a home game for Georgia. So, but Alabama's won over there plenty of times and beaten Georgia over there plenty of times. I'll say this, Buck. I think it's a factor in the sense that Georgia feels really comfortable there. But Georgia won the game because they played better. It had nothing to do with the venue. I can tell you that.
I agree, but deep down in my heart, I feel that it has a little bit to do with it. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit.
Okay.
All right, that's all I really want to say.
All right, Buck, good to hear from you, man. And tell you what, Bama, as I said, I think we all need to hit a little bit of a reset button here with Alabama. It's been a peculiar year. It's been a peculiar couple of years. I mean, it was going to be peculiar with Nick Saban retiring, regardless of who came in here. And there's a transition that has been going on. But for Alabama to get into this college football playoff is a major accomplishment. And now they need to do something with it. And they're going to have that chance in Norman, Oklahoma. All right, it's 10:28. I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. And I mean that. They're my friends. And if you're a man and you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. You'll get that support. Guys, you don't have to feel down in the dumps. You don't have to be tired. You don't have to be worn down. You don't have to come home and tell the wife, oh, honey, just bring me my dinner on the couch. You know, I'm just going to eat on the couch. I mean, you can have a little more oomph in every area of your life simply by getting by to see them at Game Day Men's Health. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. They got a personalized treatment that starts with their signature three-step plan. You'll get your blood work back in 15 minutes, and you'll be on your way to better health and better energy. Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get by and see them and tell them that Gary Harris told you to come on by from the Gary Harris Show. We're going to come back with Casey Smith on golf next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
More about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5 milligram, 1 milligram, and 2 milligrams.
University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:32. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and it is time for Casey Smith on golf. We'll talk some golf. Obviously, that's what the segment's all about, but we'll also get into the college football playoff and Casey's thoughts on that. How's it going, Casey?
Hey, doing well, Gary. Hope you're well.
I'm doing well. Golf fans, I know there was a ton of football on Bama basketball yesterday, but I know some golf fans made it a point to check in on the Hero World Golf Challenge and got to see one of the best players in the world, Hideki Matsuyama, rally to win in a playoff over Alex Noren, and I didn't watch much of it. I did flip it over to see Hideki win in the playoff, and well, that shot he hit in there to 18 to about 2 feet. That's the way to cap off a tournament. And this is, you know, this was entertaining because it had, you know, many of the best players in the world playing in it.
Yeah, you know, you get 20 guys, and there's a lot of world ranking points on the line. It's you know, sanctioned as a tour event. It's been Tiger's event forever. He's behind, and usually he would play in it, but he's not quite well yet. But yeah, Hideki Matsuyama, who won to start the year at the Century in Hawaii, now wins to finish his year. And he won in a one-hole playoff over Alex Noren, who had finished his year hot, was a Ryder Cup assistant captain for Europe, and then, you know, won before the Ryder Cup and then has played well since, and sort of looked like he, you know, could have been on the team. And then obviously Birmingham Steps Straka finishing in third and taking home a really good paycheck. The pay in this field's really big, and he finished one shot above Scottie Scheffler. The wild part about the event to me is, you know, at the top end, you're at minus 22, gets you in the playoff. And then at the back end, you know, Spieth and Goddard up are at even par. And you're just usually not a 22 shot disparity.
Right. That's a lot of shots.
Who didn't. Yeah. So, some of the guys are complaining about the turf and this and that, and but just I don't think it's been dry or whatever and not in great shape. But, hey, a win's a win for him. And now they all move out of the regular outdoor golf season and into the golf simulator season that kicks off here in a couple of weeks.
All right, let me be clear on this for our fans that are listening. You get the points, world ranking points, you get the money, obviously. That does not count as a PGA Tour victory. Am I right there?
It's unofficial. So, you know, when they're going to look it up, I think it counts for you get what's crazy is the Australian Open was being played on the DP World Tour in concert with Rory McIlroy in the field, Cam Smith in the field, Adam Scott in the field, and they had the biggest draw ever. And they're getting 50% more points in this limited field event at the Hero than they did at the DP World Tour. But I think some of that stuff is going to get changed again this coming year. But yeah, they get a lot of ranking points, a lot of ranking points, which obviously helps you. You know, people hear us talk about that, but those ranking points add up because there are certain times. Now, Hideki's won a major, but you can get into majors if you're not in the major or exempt for that, whatever major you haven't won, if you're in the top 50 before that major. So they matter for sure. And you don't get anyone turning down invites to play in this. Rory had a different deal. He would have probably been playing in the field, but he had something down there that he had to do to fulfill his DP World Tour obligations.
All right. As you said, we get into now, you know, the holiday season. There'll be some made-for-TV events and simulator golf and all that coming up. But one thing that is still out there, and you and I have been discussing it since the LIV came on board, and you know I've never been a LIV fan. I'm just not, and I'm never going to be. But it is funny how – not funny, but I guess it's remarkable that they're still around with the way that it's, you know, it's a money sieve. I mean, they're just giving away money like it's, you know, going out of style. And they came on board with, hey, we're going to pay these guys. We're going to be made for TV. We're going to have fun, 54 holes, music. Not like they were concerned about anything else. I think thinking they would force the PGA Tour's hand. Now, 5 years later, they still don't have world ranking points. They're trying to get them. They've gone to 72 holes. They're trying to become more of a legit tour now. It's just remarkable to me that they came on as this anti-PGA Tour. We're going to play in shorts. We're going to have teams. We're going to listen to music. We're going to be, you know, partying in golf carts and all that. And now they're trying to become a legit tour. So obviously their concept stunk.
Well, and I would say this, there's something that really came out yesterday that Brooks Koepka is potentially going to not play LIV this year. And he's signed, but you know, there's one way that you can quickly get to, when his last day he played for LIV, which you could have to go back a couple of months or a month, over a month. And then if you fast forwarded that 1 year, the whole deal's been like, worst case scenario, you can get back to the PGA Tour if you set out a year. And I'm gathering it has to do with fast forwarding that, knowing where he is age wise, trying to get back. If he doesn't play, I think he owes some penalty money, but not a lot. And it may be the right time for him. And that just sort of came out. He owns part of his, he owns equity in that team. I think a lot of them were like, that's not the way you go about getting your world, you know, your world ranking points of having 72 holes. They never told them they had to have 72 holes. They told them that they needed to have a churn out to where there was the regulated thing is more of a true churn out of the tour, a percentage like the PGA Tour has, which is about the PGA Tour, let's call it 1/5 has to fight to get their job back or more, 1/5 gone, I guess is what you would say. Well, that's, they only have 3 and 4, maybe 5 being regulated, which is, I know there's a different number, but still not a fifth. So a weird situation all around. I'm with you. I get the players and why they left, but you know, it's not been what they thought it was going to be. On Liv's side, they've not gotten the draw what they thought. I think it's been probably mismanaged pretty badly. And then you just had a lot of headbutting going on with it. I hope if one guy like that really goes and makes the effort to come back after a few others have, I think you'll start to see the floodgates open back up. And there's always going to be people that want to play over there that don't have a place to play. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they want to keep it going with your Poulters and Westwoods type, where they're phasing out. But and I think you're about to see a lot of those guys coming back to the Champions Tour. I heard some snippet about that. A lot of those guys are turning 50 over there. They're going to all be coming back to the Champions Tour to play. I think the Champions Tour has a chance to really have, as a result of LIV, now has a chance to be like a really awesome tour in a year or two. And it was really dying. But a lot of these guys all are wanting to come back and play. Tiger Woods is wanting to get out there and try to play when he gets well. So hopefully, maybe that's something good that will come of this. And you know, it's not just going to go away because they got enough money.
Right.
They've gotten some good young talent, but there are, if that chip falls for Brooks Koepka, you'll see others start to go, because Bryson really wants to get back on the PGA Tour as well. He's he's making a lot in YouTube golf, but you know, it's not about the money for him. He wants to compete again. So I think you're right. You said all along, it's really the lack of competition or how they go about the competition. The guys at the top of the food chain really want. And you saw Cam Smith playing in a DP World Tour event in Austria, his home, had a great tournament this over the weekend. And yeah, I think they're wanting, those top players are wanting this competition and wanting what the PGA Tour has to offer more than what LIV does. When you go out there and some events, no one's there and music's playing, it's annoying. And you know, a four-round tournament, what they're realizing is the best player always, you know, 90-something percent of the time is going to win out over four rounds.
That's right. And win it on the final day.
You've made all along. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of 54 hole leaders that don't win golf tournaments. You're right about that. And the PGA Tour, listen, it's been flawed too. You've talked about this from the reason LIV formed was because of some issues with the PGA Tour. And you've discussed this. You know, the elevated events, I guess they seem like a good idea at the time to try to keep your stars, but it's created a separation, a caste system on the PGA Tour. You mentioned this, I think, last week, Casey, but it looks like by 2027, the PGA Tour should be a little more standard again, and maybe you know, impact the, you know, how early they start and the majors and getting everybody back together on that tour, because I don't like the elevated events. I thought I might, but again, it creates stars having an opportunity to play in events that they're just for them. They make a ton of money, and they don't have an incentive to go play in a lot of regular tour events, and it's hurting the tour. So you think that we're going to be getting away from that?
Yeah, and I think what happened there is you had TV executives in the ears of decision makers. Good players were leaving to go to LIV. I mean, Hall of Fame players. And they're like, how do we make, you know, we can incentivize these guys, and we can also incentivize ourselves to make sure these guys are all going to be in the field for the weekend, and we're getting them on television, getting eyeballs on them. I think they realize it just weakens the product. It hurts the product. And if they go rebalance all that money for purses, then the next thing they do is they go reset the schedule, and these players get a real schedule like every other major sport that has a season. It's not a, you know, so you have a season, you give the fans a season. You can play other events, as Tiger said over the weekend on the Hero telecast, was there's no shortage of golf. You want to go play in the DP World Tour and play in the desert, play in Australia, you have that ability. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to our tour being more North American based, then we're going to play it in this window, and the players are going to get, you know, a week off probably after the majors, and then they'll play all the other weeks. And so you'll get 22 to 5 events, and it'll mean a lot. And then they hope, you know, by then you can hear their voice. All of those guys have started coming back over, at least the top, let's call it top 10 or 15 over at LIV. They'd love to get 15 guys back. They could get 15 guys back, it'd be a home run for everyone.
All right. Let's get to football. Mary from Atlanta already called in. You're an Atlanta guy. And they found me on social media because I didn't even take any shots at them. I gave them their due, but they want, just like when they won the national championship, they want Alabama fans, it appears, to just bow down to them. They win a game every now and then. And, you know, first of all, you can't undo that Alabama beat you in Athens. You can't undo. That's what got them on me, was I said that Alabama's win over Georgia in Athens was the best win in college football this season. And they somehow took that as the SEC championship game, you know, beat down, which is not a regular season game. But anyway, how tough has it been for you to deal with them over there? Because, boy, when they beat Alabama, they get on their high horse, don't they?
I mean, you have to. I said it the other night. Was with some, a lot of them pregame, live around and work around them. It is, we've won 11 of 12 going into that game. So now 11 of 13, you can just act like you should erase those games.
Yeah, they don't count.
Falling off the route. We're out of it. We're done. You know, it's we have a MASH unit, and so do they. And they played like a very physical MASH unit, much more physical than us. And it's the thing that happens in the games that we've lost. We shoot ourselves in the foot early on, and we can't overcome it. We just didn't look like even the same team. I think that Kirby Smart's comment after the game about, I'm really concerned about a ninth conference game. He's like, these teams are just banged up to the max. I think what he said is right. That's a scary thing. Yeah, but living over here with them, it's not fun, especially after a beatdown like that. But you know, I guess it was. You play enough of them against them, you're not gonna win them all.
No, they're too good a program. It's
good,
amazing.
It's not good, but it's not over, and that's what I hope.
Yeah.
That it's taken, and you know, a reset of let's go play not to lose anymore. Let's go play this next game in Oklahoma to win. Let it all out. Let it rip. Play like we did in the middle of the season. You know, take more shots downfield. The defense is going to travel. Hopefully we get everybody back well. And, you know, we're looking like it could be a really cold Friday night game in Norman.
Yeah, when you look at how good Georgia's been under Kirby Smart, it's remarkable what Alabama's have been able to do against them. And that result Saturday doesn't change any of that. But you're right, Casey, you said something very important. Alabama's in. I mean, I had this conversation with Rodney Orr earlier, and I get it. There's frustration with how they played on Saturday and even in the Iron Bowl, even though they won. But you know what? You're 1-12. You're 1-12 that's got a chance to play for a national championship. So Alabama fans need to – you know, get on this, you know, hit the reset button, quit whining, and, you know, get excited about this opportunity.
Listen, I mean, our path to the championship game, we really control our destiny. Should have beat Oklahoma, beat them all up and down the field. And so shouldn't fear them. You win. I think you can see what Indiana did. I think we can beat anybody that's ahead. Ohio State just became immortal, right? And so I think after seeing them lose, like, hey, we've beaten Georgia. Georgia can beat any team in the bracket. We can beat any team in the bracket. Just got to play really good football. And, hey, I think it's – if we'd have lost, it would have put a lot – or we'd have not been in the playoffs, it would have put a really bad taste, worst taste in everybody's mouth. But you live to play another day, and it's now it's just 1-0 season, you know. You control your destiny.
That's right. Absolutely do. All right, great stuff. Casey, one final comment or topic. Because, you know, people heard you mention Charlie Woods on the segment, and I got a text this morning, and Wimp and Barry did too, for Doug Bell's segment about any update on Charlie Woods and his Alabama recruitment.
I knew he visited during football season a couple of times and heard it was down to us in Florida State, and hopefully he chooses the good guy. That's all. That's sort of I heard. You know, could commit. Who knows who can commit, but could commit really any time. Wouldn't be surprised.
All right, we will keep an eye on that for sure. Thanks a lot, Casey.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, 10:48 here on the Gary Harris Show, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. I got to get back in, Chase. I mean, I've got to get in. I'm at that point now. I've been out long enough that I'm craving a workout. You know what I mean? Even though I've been staying active and doing I got a little Americanized Tai Chi program that I do, and I do some walking and push-ups and all that. But I got to get back into Y, man. There's nothing like getting into the Y for a workout, especially when it's cold outside, getting that Y, man, get a little sweat going. A YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street downtown. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. All right, we're going to come back with phone calls. We're going to go to Willie in Georgia and Tony in Oklahoma. I don't know if they're Bama fans, but the team that just beat Alabama versus the team that beat them a few weeks ago, as far as the states are concerned. We'll take those phone calls.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at Taylor Electrical.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and...
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on
treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The forecast, a clearing sky today, becoming partially sunny this afternoon, the high 48. Clear and cold tonight, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
With the kids jingle belling and everything.
All right, 10:53, and boy, I love the Christmas songs, and it has been very Christmas-like weather-wise for a while now. All right, let's get to phone calls. We got Willie in Georgia and then Tony out in Oklahoma. Hey, Willie.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Good to hear from you.
Same here. I'm a lifelong Alabama fan.
I know you are.
I actually went to the game, me and three of my family members, and I had a feeling. I mean, I was optimistic, but I really didn't have a good feeling about this game.
I didn't either.
When we got there, I mean, you can just tell the vibe was off, and they was wearing those red uniforms. And we real good in the white ones. And they just didn't play well. I mean, they just couldn't get it going. I mean, and those Dolphins was barking, man.
They were barking. They were hungry. Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Willie. I got the same vibe. I mean, I sensed when I got there that Alabama wanted to win. Alabama fans wanted to win, but I got the feeling that Georgia knew that they were gonna take care of business. There was a confidence and an air about them that I've seen from Alabama in the past, but I didn't feel it Saturday. I'm with you 100%. I think Alabama hoped to win. Yeah. I think Georgia knew they were gonna win.
Yeah, I had that same feel. I was like, man. Because all the games we won, I always had that, like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we got it today. But for whatever reason, Saturday, I was like, man, everything is off. And we wear these red uniforms, and the guys don't look like they pumped, and they're not ready to go. You know, you just could feel it. But that's my team, and I love them. And I'm grateful we're making the playoffs. But I just hope, after all said and done, it seems like we have to make some changes, because this, to me, as a fan, this West Coast offense is not working. I mean, you cannot be the team physically passing the ball all game. So something got to give. That and the special teams, I mean, I was really highly disappointed in that.
Well, I think the special teams is something they got to fix in the short term and get ready for Oklahoma. The offense, I don't know, Willie. I mean, this is what they run. I mean, this is their offense. So can you perform better at doing what you do? But I hope so. But I don't know how much they're going to change their offense. But anyway, got to get ready for the Sooners. And appreciate you, Willie. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Enjoy the show. Have a great one.
Thank you. All right, we'll go from Georgia out to Oklahoma and talk with Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Doing well.
You got a great show. I'm a Bama fan. I would like to see us finally be able to beat these guys out.
Yeah, I know. I know you would.
And the problem is I think it's Ty's timing more than anything else, and I think we peaked about mid-season instead of at the end of the season, so...
Yeah, they certainly were playing better earlier in the year. What I'm hoping for, Tony, and you know, you live out there, I know you're hoping for the same thing, is that Alabama had success moving the ball against that defense. I mean, it was really their last really good offensive game as far as moving the ball, looking in sync. You know, the two turnovers by Ty just killed them, and then obviously the drop punt by Ryan Williams. But they did have success moving the football, and I thought defensively. Now, it's hard to gauge a defense when you keep giving them short fields and give them a pick six, but I thought defensively they played okay, and I thought offensively they moved the ball. So I'll tell you this, Tony, even though Oklahoma has kind of had Alabama's number, you know, we saw how it worked out for Alabama against Georgia. I think Alabama out of all the matchups, the only one I would have preferred over this one would have been to go to Ole Miss. But as far as, you know, the situation Alabama's in, I actually like this matchup for the Tide, Tony.
Well, I agree with you. I think it'll be good. It's again, if the offense can move the ball, that'll be the biggest thing. Oh, by the way, too, I'm the guy that the cyclist that calls in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I haven't ridden in a while. I had that little prostate scare, and you know, was told that, you know, in the short term, don't don't be riding the bike, even with the shorts, because it can exacerbate some prostate issues. So I've taken a break from bike riding, but now that my PSA is back down and I'm good, maybe I'll start back up in the new year.
Well, y'all too. I ran a half marathon yesterday, even in the cold, so it wasn't that bad. And I've got quite a few years on you, I got a feeling.
Well, yeah, but you got the fitness level on me too, because right now I was just talking about needing to get back into the Y. I'm not in very good shape right now, just to be real blunt.
Well, sweat's good, man. Sweat makes you better.
It does, no doubt about it. Are you going to the game, Tony?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not going. I'll catch it. I'll catch it on Tide 100, 100.9. But no, we'll see what happens. I've got a friend that's got season tickets. I mean, we're great friends, and we talk about it. It's not I like the fans out here. They're not super nasty.
Yeah, they seem like good people. There's a lot of respect, I think, between the two programs. They're very similar.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, and Brent Venables, he's a great coach, too. You know, you got to admit, you know, he's done a great job as far as defense is concerned. And our defense, I'll be honest, our defense is I believe they're championship level. If you can get them off the field, you can't play them 60 minutes out of a game, though, and expect them to hold all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were on the field too much Saturday, so, you know. But, hey, it is what it is. It's football. It's college football. And the biggest problem with college football is money.
Oh, yeah. The money grab is, like I said earlier, I'm with you 100%. The money grab starts now in high school, and it goes right on up through the players, the coaches, the support staff, the administration, the schools themselves. It's just everybody wants their piece of the pie, man. And it's got us a little bit warped in regards to what college sports is supposed to be about. But it is what it is. Hey, I got to run, Tony. Good to hear from you, man.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
it. All right, 10:59. We're going to wrap it up, and we'll get you ready for the Miller's Edge. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. And catch me on TV tonight with your local news, now that I'm doing the news. And also, the West Alabama Christmas Parade, 6:30 live on WVUA 23. So that'll be fun. Richard Scott will be involved in that. So we'll look forward to bringing you the parade. And I'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Gary Harris Show. I want to say enjoy the holiday weather. I think we're already for some sunshine by now, though, aren't we, Chase? But hopefully it's coming later this week. Have a great day, everybody.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoe.
Thank you for listening.